What is the mandate that Christ has given to us? It's my pleasure to ask João Mordomo to come up to the platform and help us understand what is the commission that Christ has given us. João may not understand anything he reads in The Economist, but he does know how to act out in practice the commandment of Christ.
Thank you, Ellen. And? Yeah. Some of you, I have a feeling, may feel like that by the time I'm done. I apologize in advance. I want to tell you a story today, but I can't. I'm a really lousy storyteller. I'd love to do it, but it's just not going to happen. So I know that missiologically correctness, it would say that I'm, you know, as the leader of a global mission movement, I'm supposed to be able to tell stories. Professionally correct? No, not that either, because every business consultant and marketing guru will tell you that you have to be able to tell a compelling story to sell your product or your service. So I guess I'm incorrect on all fronts. I'm lousy at telling stories. Ask my kids. They've never heard of Little Red Riding Hood. They don't know the Brothers Grimm. They've never heard of Hans Christian Andersen. I can't even tell the stories of the Bible correctly. And so fortunately, they love the Bible, and they read the Bible, and that's why they understand the Bible. Praise the Lord for that. The thing is, we don't live our lives in bullet points, do we? So you need to be able to tell a story. And what I'm going to do is blame my inability to tell stories on some youthful indiscretion of mine back in the late 80s when I decided to major in sociology. And when I studied sociology, they taught me how to study the story and to quantify the story, but not tell the story. A good thing happened, however, in the subsequent decades. There was what some call in the social sciences a narrative turn. In other words, somebody figured out that it would be great if you could just tell the big story, tell the meta narrative. And so what I'm going to do today is try to tell very quickly the meta narrative, the big story. And you know what? I can do that. I can do that, and I'm passionate about that because we're talking about nothing less than the story of God's global glory. We're talking about the story of our glorious God among all the nations. Now, to start the story, the meta narrative, I do have to tell a story. So to get to the story, I will try to tell a story. It may not go so well, but you'll get the point. And it starts with this guy right here, Nicholas Ludwig von Zinzendorf. He was a count. He was a German pietistic leader, a nobleman, and he was passionate about missions. And his passion for missions God used to form a movement. We call them the Moravians. Early 1700s, and you guys have heard of the Moravians, I feel certain. They're the ones that say things like, I have one passion. It is Jesus, Jesus only. They're the guys that started a 100-year-long prayer movement, literally, seriously, 100 years, 24/7. They did not stop collectively praying. Well, when you do that, you can't not love God's global glory. They're the ones that said things like, they had a clear motive, and they said things like this, may the lamb that was slain receive the reward of his suffering. They're the ones that had a very clear message. Their message was, tell them about the Lamb of God till you can tell them no more. As a result, they sent missionaries all over the world. In fact, they sent more missionaries in 20 years than the entire Protestant movement had done in 200 years. So these guys and gals were not playing around. Now, I want to tell you about their initial experiences in Suriname. 1754, two Moravian brothers named Danny and Ralphs arrived in what today we call Suriname, northern part of southern South Africa. Sorry, Africa, right. That's my region of the world. It's not. It's America. I do know my geography. I can't tell the stories. That's why the geography comes out wrong. I'm talking about South America, northern part, Suriname. Yes, that's correct this time. South America. Suriname. And what happens in Suriname in 1754? These guys get there and they set up a business. They set up a trading company. And in their spare time, they actually were working as tailors. And they were so good at it, and the quality of their product was so high that the demand outstripped the supply, and they began to hire employees. And then they transitioned into a bakery and a watchmaker's shop. Now, what that led to in 1768 was a company, today we call it Well, I already get, see, I told you I can't tell a story. It was called Kirsten and Company. And Kirsten and Company, what's amazing about this company is that you can go to their website today. This company that was established in 1768 was a BAM company, even though they did not use that terminology. It was a Great Commission company, to use Steve Rundle's terminology, even though they might not necessarily have used that terminology. They have 14 operational companies divided into 5 divisions. They're one of the largest trading companies in the Western Hemisphere. Now, if you go to their website, especially until recently, I noticed they're making some changes, so I don't know what it's going to look like. But they stated outright what I'm about to read to you right now. And normally I wouldn't put so much text, but I speak quickly and I want you guys to be able to follow. So there it is. The ultimate shareholder of this corporation, Kirsten, is the Moravian Church Foundation. It's a nonprofit corporation created under the authority of the Moravian Church for the financial support of the work of the Moravian Church. Okay, that's a great start, but look what these guys do. On their website, humble potters, carpenters, tailors left their home base in Europe to serve as Moravian missionaries in the New World. They're better storytellers than I am, by the way. They utilize their skills as craftsmen to earn a living with their hands while dedicating the remaining time to preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. Some pure BAMers already thinking, no, that's not what... Okay, it's in the big house of BAM, right? And their work was blessed. The missionaries were good servants, trustworthy in small things. By multiplying the talents entrusted to them by their master, they have enabled the church to continue its work. Moravian businesses originating in Suriname have expanded to other countries, generating not only employment, but also income for the Moravian Church Foundation to finance church work, as well as social and community projects on several continents. You can see this on the internet. This is a company that's been doing this for 245 years. Today, 50% of Suriname is Christian, 25% are Protestant, and 8% are Moravian, because the Moravians did BAM. They understood that business is a way to fulfill the Great Commission. They understood the connection between, you know what, that was all supposed to go. I read it. You didn't follow it. There it is. You didn't follow that either. I'm not even going to explain that. And I already, well, no, I didn't. So I'll tell you that right there. We'll do that one together. How about that? Our objective is therefore to maximize the net result of our business activities in order to support the work of the foundation. Thus, we at the MCF accomplished a harmonious unity between church and business, and they've done it for 245 years. When we understand that business is relevant to the Great Commission, we can do it for 245 years. Here's our historical precedent for the relationship between business and the Great Commission. Now, a writer, author, theologian named William Danker has said this about the Moravians in terms of their understanding of the connection between theology, vocation, and mission. According to Danker, to this day, productive enterprises founded by the Moravians brought them greater recognition and prestige in the eye of governments than mission societies could command. But the most important contribution of the Moravians was their emphasis that every Christian is a missionary and should witness through his daily vocation. If the example of the Moravians had been studied more carefully by other Christians, it is possible that the businessman might have retained his honored place within the expanding Christian world mission beside the preacher, the teacher, and the physician. In other words, the business professional has a starring role to play in this story, in this meta-narrative of God's global glory. The meta-narrative, what I'm here to talk about, is this, the Great Commission. Now, we're talking about the story of God's global glory. It rides, redemptive history progresses on the rails of the Great Commission. And the Great Commission advances on the rails in large part of business. There's a direct correlation, a direct relationship between the use of business and the reaching of the nations. Our story is of this great and glorious God. Our story is about the relationship of business and God's global glory. And if you're not clear on that, let's make it clear. God created everything for his glory. That's what Colossians 1:16 teaches us. All things were created through him and for him, meaning for his glory. He created and called us very specifically for his glory. In Isaiah 43, if you later on want to look at the first 14 verses of Ephesians chapter 1, he talks about his people who were created for his glory, who he formed and made. He didn't just create everything. He didn't just create us for his glory. He created us and called us to declare his glory. If you are to look, for example, in Psalm 96, verses 3 and 4, you find the Great Commission stated clearly in the Old Testament. Declare his glory among all nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples, because great is the Lord and most worthy to be praised. And that, brothers and sisters, is the Great Commission. It's stated clearly throughout the entirety of Scripture. Now, a lot of us want to jump straight to Matthew 28, and you can't talk about the Great Commission without Matthew 28, make disciples of all nations. I won't read the rest. What are we talking about here? The Greek phrase, panta tai ethne, means all nations, not the way we sometimes think. Sometimes, when we think about our task of the Great Commission, our goal of missions, it's to make Jesus Christ known among all nations for his eternal glory and their eternal good. And we think, great, let's do that. Nations, we think geopolitically. So for example, we take the nation of Pakistan. It's a country, but it's not the biblical concept of nation. If you divide Pakistan up in biblical nations, you're talking about multiple ethnic groups and conglomerations of ethnic groups. And Jesus said, I desire and deserve to be known and worshiped among all of those different ethnic groups. Now, how do we make that happen? How do we get the message of the gospel to all of those nations? It's through business. The definition of business is mission we've talked about. Look at the bottom line. When we talk about it being truly strategic, what are we talking about? Strategic means reaching all nations. How do you do that? Through BAM. BAM is significant because it's a means by which we can fulfill God's mission broadly. Fourfold bottom line, corporate social responsibility plus. But it's not only significant, it's distinctive. Business is distinctive because it creates an opportunity for us to fulfill the Great Commission in its broadest scope. It gives us the opportunities to get into geopolitical contexts which do not otherwise receive missionaries like Craig. So if you want to know... Oh, you're not a missionary. You're a BAM.
All right. I have an idea for a new business for João. Sell your words at $1 a piece, and you would be a multimillionaire.
There's a whole bunch of them written in other places. Maybe I'll sell those.
There are also going to be healing sessions for your interpreters.
I did apologize in advance. Sorry about that.
So I started off by saying that I'm not a very good storyteller, and I'm about to prove it again because we started the story, but we didn't finish the story. So I'm going to finish the story, and I know that you're not supposed to jump to the end of the story, to the conclusion, because that ruins the story, but we didn't have a lot of time. So let's jump to the end of the story. The end of the story you find in Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 12, which says, "Behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples, languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb,' and saying, 'Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen.'" So the story of business as mission is the story of the Great Commission. And the story of the Great Commission is the story of God's glory among all nations. So the thing is, if you want to take the story of business as mission and the story of the Great Commission and the story of God's glory out of the Bible, if you want to run that risk, if you think that that's not what the great story, the meta-narrative, the big story that we started talking about is all about, you can do it. But if you take the story of God's glory, and that includes business as mission, it includes all vocations, out of the Bible, then you have no story at all.